Perfect. Let's get this meeting started at 9:06 a.m. We are meeting virtually. I'd like to go over the mission of the board, if the board can humor me. The mission of the board is to protect the public by setting educational and training standards for licensure and by reviewing complaints made against osteopathic physicians, interns, and residents to ensure that their conduct meets the standard of the profession as defined by ARS 321854. Mr. Boholt, is there anything else we need for the public record as far as details of this meeting being virtual for the recording?
Just the date and the time when you're ready.
Oh, great. It is January 30th, 2026, and I think I mentioned the time already.
Perfect.
Just as a quick point, if you could mention that there's a little change in the access because of a vulnerability with a prior board that was identified. Could you let the participants know about that?
Absolutely. Thank you. If you are participating in the meeting, if you wish to unmute your microphone or turn on your camera, you will then need to receive a request from either a host or a co-host, and we will submit a little pop-up will show up on your screen asking you to turn on your screen or unmute your microphone. Thank you.
I apologize for the extra step. We appreciate everybody being here. We're just trying to keep this meeting under some control from some apparent cyber attacks. And it's too bad, that's the world we live in, though. Could we have a roll call and review of the agenda, Mr. Bohol?
Yes. Roll call, Dr. Cunningham. Oh, sorry.
There
There we go.
we go.
There we go. Here.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Pichelle. You are unmuted.
Here.
Perfect, thank you. Dr. Walker is absent. Mr. Goodman.
I'm present.
Perfect. And Dr. Shippog.
Present.
Dr. Manum.
Present.
Perfect. You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bohol, is there a way to have the board itself unmuted as a group in the settings there? Do you know? Just
Yes, let me mess with that.
that's okay. I'm sorry. I know this is all new. So moving on to item three, call to the public. I'd like to welcome, honestly, welcome the medical students, Midwestern University, Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine, and A.T. Still. University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Arizona. Please pay attention. There is a lot to learn from our proceedings, and there will be questions at the end. Mr. Bohol, do we have anybody else signed in for call to the public?
At this time, we have not received any calls of the public.
That's just fine. I assume we can move on to item four then.
That is correct.
Item four is review, consideration, and approval of the minutes for December 8th, open and executive session. That's on our board packet here. If there are any questions, if not, we could take a motion for both together. We can separate them if needed.
I make a motion for both together, please.
A
A motion
second.
and a second. Is there any further discussion? All approved, indicate with an eye or raise of the hand. Aye.
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 Any opposed or any amendments? Thank you. Motion passes. Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
Believe if we take care of the minutes, if you'd like to do your investigative hearing first, or if you'd like to move to licensure, either one is fine with us.
Well, why don't we start with investigative hearings? Item
Okay.
five, I believe.
Yes. Thank you. One second, I'm sorry.
No, no problem. I assume it's Ms. Castro presenting. And Mr. Rain or Rainey, I'm sorry, I can't remember if I pronounced the E. We'll get to you momentarily. I apologize for the inconvenience on the microphone.
I'm sorry. Did you ask me a question?
Not at all, Dr. Woodall. I am so sorry. We're having a little technical difficulty. If you could please stand by, we're trying to sort out some of these security measures, I believe. You're good.
Okay.
Thank you for asking, ma'am.
Mr. Rain and Dr. Woodall, if you wouldn't mind trying to turn on your camera, I think I've fixed that setting. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rainey, did you have a procedural question before we get to this case, or is it just the camera you're raising your hand about?
No, I did have a procedural issue before we got started.
Could you please go ahead and ask, as long as it's not...
Sure. No, it should be brief, so...
I apologize. Do I pronounce the E or not? I can't remember.
No, just Rain.
Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you, board members, for your time. We are set both for the investigative hearing, but also just... basic licensing review. I thought that the plan had been, you know, first we'll start with the informal process, see if we could resolve matters, and then proceed to the more formal investigative hearing. But on top of that, we have declined the invitation to the investigative hearing by both not responding to it, which is effectively a no, but also we've noted in writing to the board staff that we declined that process. So in lieu of item 5, we would recommend we instead go to the licensing agenda item, whether now or when you get to those items.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mr. Rain. Mr. Bohol, I'm going to have a procedural question that I have to ask legal advice. Is this an okay time to move to executive session?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any opposed? All in favor, indicate with an aye, please.
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm here.
I got it.
Okay, I believe you have a quorum.
Perfect, thank you very much. Mr. Bohol, I'd like to table item 5 and move us on to item 6, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Perfect. I believe 6 starts with DO 250205A, Dr. Kruntz, if I'm saying that name correctly.
Yes, hello.
Thank you. Hold on a moment, Dr. Kruntz. Thank you for being here. And I think Mr. Carey is waiting for his muting, et cetera.
I am unmuted.
Hang on one second, Dr. Maidaman. Justin, I need to recuse myself from this first case. So I'll just please bring me back for the next one.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Cunningham.
Item 6A is DO 250205. Dr. Kruntz has applied for licensure August 10th of 2025. On the application, Dr. Kruntz disclosed having a previous disciplinary action taken by this board. Dr. Kruntz was issued an administrative warning in June 2025 for failing to properly disclose an arrest and charge for disorderly conduct on a postgraduate training permit application. The board voted to issue the administrative warning and require 22 hours of CME in ethics. Dr. Kruntz has completed the required CME.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And for licensures, I don't need to swear the doctor in. Is that correct? Thank you, Ms. Galvin, although you're muted. I appreciate it. Dr. Kruntz or Mr. Flynn, would you like to speak to this matter?
Thank you, Dr. Maida, members of the board. This is before you because of a kind of a quirk in how your board does things, which even if you've adjudicated a matter previously, if someone checks the box, it'll come in front of you to review before licensure renewal is granted. So that's why this is here. I know this was last year's case. It was fully discussed, adjudicated. We appeared before the board, and there was a fairly robust discussion that led to the admin penalty. I would note that Dr. Kruntz has not only resolved everything, she also sealed her underlying criminal case that was dismissed. So essentially, she has done everything appropriately for licensure. So we would just ask that you grant, since this has been adjudicated and properly reviewed by the board previously.
Thank you very much. It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Dr. Kruntz, would you like to say anything? You don't have to, but you'd like to say anything before board asks questions?
Good morning to the board again. Mr. Carey said everything I wanted to say, but of course, I'm always happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Dr. Kruntz. Questions from the board?
I have a question, Dr. Maidaman.
Yes, thank you very much, Richard Goodman.
This is more procedural and for information for any students that may be attending. Mr. Carey, with her criminal record being sealed, next time she applies for a license, I know it depends on the wording of the exact question, but I think under our question, she would still have to say yes and then indicate that they're sealed, or how would that work?
So I think that's going to get probably to the point of me giving legal advice, because it's a little tricky, because if you read 13911, the statute that talks about seals, it actually says once the seal is granted, you can actually represent that you've never been arrested or charged for the offense. But then it also has disqualifiers. It says if it's for a government, purposes or for a state required purpose. So there is no case law on this. We've only had the statute out for a year or 2 years at this point. So there's no case law. So we are all kind of at sea on how that's going to work. And so I think to some extent, it's going to be essentially when people apply, really carefully considering the language. And typically what's advised is to reach out to board staff if there's a concern, or reach out to counsel, because it's up for grabs at this point, as far as from a legal perspective, as I'm concerned.
That was actually one of the best lectures and exactly what I was looking for, Mr. Yeah. Curry.
Mr. Curry, thank you very much. That was perfect. And to anybody that's listening who needs to know this, pay attention to that answer and seek counsel or advice.
I may have one answer, and Flynn, I respect you and I appreciate that, but as board counsel, my answer would be when in doubt, disclose.
Mm-hmm. But he's representing the good doctor. That's what he had to say. He did a pretty good job.
That's why I'm here.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Gene.
Any other questions from the board, or do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Please, go ahead. Thank you, Dr. Shaw.
Thank you for coming here today, and thanks for everything from the last meeting, and I'd like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted license.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second. Ms. Fischel.
Ms. Fischel, great to hear from you. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
I think we had enough members there, Mr. Bohol.
You think you're good to go?
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Prunz. I appreciate you taking this seriously, and we look forward to you as a doctor in Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to move on to item B, Mr. Bohol? You're muted, but that was definitely a yes.
That's correct. Sorry. Thank you.
There you go.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect, Dr. Williams. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Okay, item 6B, DO 25-0207A. Dr. Williams has applied for licensure May 23rd of 2025. On the application, Dr. Williams disclosed an arrest in October 2019 in Glendale, Arizona. Dr. Williams stated that he was arrested in his home following an argument with his wife that became physical. Dr. Williams stated that during the argument, his wife slapped him and he then slapped her. He further states that he contacted Glendale Police Department to de-escalate the situation and was arrested for domestic violence disorderly conduct. Records obtained from the Glendale Police Department and the Glendale City Court confirm the arrest and charges. The documentation also confirms the charges were dismissed in April 2020. Dr. Williams graduated from Midwestern University in 2023 and holds a resident license in Nevada. He is currently a PGY3 in emergency medicine in Nevada.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. Dr. Williams, do you have representation here?
I do not.
Oh, you don't have to. I just have to ask. I should ask. Before you say anything, if there's anything that you would consider personal and confidential, in a little bit, I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for that matter. But for anything that is not personal or confidential or you feel comfortable discussing, please go ahead. Would you like to speak to this event?
Certainly. Thank you very much for taking the time to consider my application. Unfortunately, this is a case of failed de-escalation, two young, immature people not acting appropriately. We got into an argument. There was yelling. My wife, ex-wife, will now actually slap me in the face for the first time ever. In my surprise, I slapped her back, and we looked at each other, realized that we had completely failed to de-escalate. I went to separate myself to the other part of the room. She unfortunately suffers from panic disorder, had a panic attack at this time, and we were being separated. She felt isolated, called the police to help with the situation. When the police arrived, you know, everything was de-escalated. We had already separated for 15, 20 minutes at that time. They realized there was no imminent danger of any further threat. Neither of us wanted to charge each other with anything. But the police stated that, according to Glendale City Protocol, given it was a domestic call, that one of the parties had to be separated, taken to jail. So I volunteered to go to jail for the night. She stayed home with our puppy. Like that was previously mentioned, everything was dismissed on my part without any conditions. My ex-wife was dismissed on the condition that she did the anger management course. I think this is an unfortunate case where I had to learn the hard way that, you know, violence is never the answer. It's not something I had ever done before. It's not something that I ever have done in the future. But I think overall, This failed de-escalation taught me a lot of lessons about conflict resolution and has served me well in teaching me to de-escalate and, you know, work as an emergency physician.
That's a good skill in emergency medicine. Thank you. Any questions from the board before consideration of moving to executive session? I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Move you over to executive session. Dr. Williams, you will receive a request to join a breakout room. Okay?
Okay.
believe you have all the board members back.
Thank you very much.
I don't see Goodman, or I missed.
Oh, he did message me. He was going to lose service, so but he said proceed if possible without him. And I believe we have a quorum still. Let's see, one, two.
We do. Yeah.
I'll mark him as absent. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. We may proceed then, Mr. Bohol, correct?
Yes.
Dr. Williams, I hope you took our conversation that we just had in a heartfelt manner. That being said, I'd like to make a motion to grant you a full and unrestricted license in Arizona.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Are there any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
Aye. Welcome to Arizona, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
I believe we can go to 6C, DO-250206A, Richard Gleason. I think Dr. Gleason has signed in to speak.
Perfect. Go ahead.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for being here.
It's Gleason, but most people make that mistake.
Thank you very much, Gleason.
I appreciate it. I like to not mutilate names. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's an uncommon name, so.
Yes. So
these my horses have been fighting laryngitis lately.
Go ahead, Mr. Bohol or Ms. Castro.
I'll have Ms. Castro provide the summary.
Thank you.
Dr. Gleason has applied for licensure June 18, 2025. On the application, Dr. Gleason answered yes to having had any disciplinary or adverse action imposed against a professional license. On his application to the board, Dr. Gleason disclosed that his Connecticut state medical license had previously been reprimanded and placed on probation due to inadequate maintenance of medical records while prescribing hydrocodone to himself and his spouse. The disciplinary order also required CME in prescribing practices. The probation was imposed on his license December 18, 2007 and successfully lifted January 29, 2008 following completion of all required coursework. While the probation has been lifted, the reprimand remains part of his licensure history. Dr. Gleason further reported that other states have taken reciprocal action based on the Connecticut matter. In New York, in May of 2008, Dr. Gleason received a censure and reprimand and was required to comply with the terms of the December 2007 order issued by Connecticut. Dr. Gleason was issued a license in July of 2024 by the state of Maryland. In September of 24, the Maryland Board issued a reprimand and permanently prohibited him from prescribing or dispensing controlled dangerous substances to himself, family members, or friends. Dr. Gleason was also issued a license in November of 24 by the state of Florida. That license is conditional and also prohibited from prescribing or dispensing controlled dangerous substances to himself, family members, or friends. Dr. Gleason holds licenses in Delaware, D.C., Georgia, Indiana, North Carolina, Ohio, South Carolina, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin, and has no other disciplinary actions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. And Dr. Gleason, before we move on, two things. One, do you have representation?
No.
Well, that's just fine. Thank you. And number two, and I hope you'll humor me for just a moment. This is not about you or an attack on you. If I'm correct, there's been involvement with four or five boards in some degree or another. Is that something like that, correct?
Yes. Sorry. So this all is.
Oh, no, just give me a moment here. I apologize. This is. No, not at all. And please just humor me for a moment. This is not for you. This is for the medical students. This is really important lesson. I'm not trying to draw out your case. But Ms. Galvin or Mr. Bohol, could you, just for the medical students, give just a brief discussion on why Dr. Gleason has to go through all these events that were all from a single event? Mm-hmm.
So the board, through the application process, is required to review all the conduct and the history to determine if the applicant is fully qualified for licensure. So the part of that does include records and history from other licensing boards. And so the board has to consider any past actions as part of the application process.
Thank you. So essentially, this initial case was adjudicated back in 2008, that rough time frame, if I remember correctly. And the rest was a cascade.
January 2008, right?
Yes, got it. And the rest has been a cascade for boards because every board is responsible for protecting the public there. So part of this is I apologize that you're in front of us to begin with, but obviously this is extremely serious, and we do have to adjudicate every case here. Would you like to tell us about this case? I think you can be brief, but go ahead.
I think it was perfectly stated when read to you. Like she said, I was reprimanded, placed on probation for prescribing hydrocodone for my wife without maintaining adequate medical records. And I completed required coursework in January 31st, 2008. The reprimand, the restriction was removed, and reprimand remains in place, infinity.
That sounds like a perfectly reasonable description to me, Dr. Glisson. Do I have any questions from the board? My recommendation to the board is to consider a couple of options. Obviously, this case has been well adjudicated and acted upon on the initial state and some actions in subsequent states. We still are in a position where we can do a decree of censure or other punitive, but as this initial event was 18 years ago, we're also in a position to give a letter of concern for prescribing to controlled substances to family and for inadequate medical records. Does the board have a feeling on this?
I feel that's reasonable, since this is sounds like the doctor has already completed his requirements that he has. Clearly, this is a serious event. I think the med students, this is a great opportunity for them to realize how important it is that we don't prescribe to family members and or ourselves as well, too, for controlled substances. So I think a letter of concern would be absolutely appropriate for this particular case.
Go ahead, Dr. Chabon.
Just to clarify, since this is a licensing we are you're under license, sorry, that we instead of we wouldn't be issuing a letter of concern, but we would discuss with Dr. Listen about entering in a consent agreement with the board for a letter of concern and correct. In essence grant the licensing granted license.
That is correct. Thank you very much, Dr. Chabon.
Thanks for straightening that out. Thank you.
Sometimes I forget where we are on the agenda.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. Whatever your plan is, will this also be reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank?
Mr. Bohol, could you describe, please?
This is a non-disciplinary consent agreement, and the letter of concern is non-disciplinary as well. It is a public record, but it is not reportable to National Practitioner Data Bank.
My feeling is there's been enough reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank already.
Yeah, I started working for a Telerad company and acquiring all these state medical licenses, as was stated, and the last reprimand was Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's the problem with teleradiology or other specialties that are multiple state licenses. This brings everything up over and over again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Mr. Bohol, how do we proceed with this? Can we grant a license and then have the consent, or do we need to have you take both offline and deal with both together?
You can make the motion to grant licensure upon signature of the consent agreement for a letter of concern. Staff will draft that letter of concern and the consent agreement and send it to the doctor. If the doctor signs it, then we will issue the license.
Ms. Galvin, Ms. Franklin, would I be out of line with that?
That is perfect.
So moved. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Second from somebody?
You can have it. Right? All yours.
Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Bohol, could I just make sure you have my correct email address?
Oh, we'll get to that in just a moment here. Sorry.
Yes, we will reach out.
Any further discussion? Are there any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
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 Good. Well, welcome to Arizona. I look forward to seeing some of your radiology reads. I'll keep you honest on them.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bohol, where are we next?
We move to 6D.
Sorry,
Dillinger. And I did want to note for the record that Mr. Goodman has returned.
Thank you. Perfect. And is the board okay with continuing, or do we need 5 or 10?
I'm good.
Okay, let's keep going then. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, do I drop off?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I guess you could stay if you want, but I don't recommend it. Very good. Is that Ms. Castro?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Castro.
Thank you. Dr. Dillinger has applied for initial license August 10th of 2025. On the application, Dr. Dillinger answered no to having ever been arrested for, charged with, or convicted of any felony or misdemeanor. During the process of the application, board staff found that Dr. Dillinger may have provided incorrect information to the board, as he had been arrested in November of 2012 in Missouri and charged with stealing. After being contacted by board staff for failing to disclose appropriately on his initial application, Dr. Dillinger stated that he regretted not disclosing. Dr. Dillinger further stated that in 2012, he was at a Walmart in Springfield, Missouri with a group of friends, and they attempted to steal several bottles of wine along with other merchandise by placing the bottles in their pockets. Dr. Dillinger stated they consumed the stolen alcohol in the store restroom. Dr. Dillinger stated he appeared before a judge and received a suspended imposition of sentence contingent upon completion of community service, an educational lecture series, and a 2-year probationary period. Board staff received arrest records from the Springfield Police Department confirming the charges. Greenville County Circuit Clerk's Office was unable to provide any court documentation confirming the disposition. Dr. Dillinger holds an active postgraduate training permit in Arizona that was issued July 1st of 2023. Dr. Dillinger may have provided misinformation to the board on that application, as well as the PGT renewals submitted for 2024 and 2025. As he also answered no to having ever been arrested on each of those applications.
Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. And Dr. Dillaway, you have representation?
Yes, Kate Lanigan here on behalf of Dr. Dillinger.
Welcome, thank you very much. Would one of you two like to speak initially?
Yes, I'd like to just make a short statement to the board. As you've heard, this case was initiated because Dr. Dillinger had answered no to the question on his licensure application asking if he had ever been arrested. At the time of application, he reflexively answered no to that question because the record has been expunged. He regrets not taking more time and care with his application, and he acknowledges his mistake, and it was a good faith oversight. It was not an intent to mislead or withhold information. Knowing what he knows now, he would have reported the incident. As you've heard and as... Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please, Ms. Lanigan.
Well, so just as you've heard and as he stated in his letters to the board, the underlying incident stemmed from a 2012 arrest in Missouri when he was in college and a teenager. It was misdemeanor shoplifting from a Walmart. And just so that you understand a little bit about his character, I think it's important to note that even at the time of the incident, he took accountability for his actions and cooperated fully with the Springfield Police Department. And immediately admitted his mistake to the officer at the time of arrest. As you've heard also, he's completed community service, an educational lecture series, and his 2-year probationary period, so the record was expunged. It was an isolated mistake and a minor offense that he deeply regrets. He's not faced any legal concerns or disciplinary actions since that 2012 event. And Dr. Dillinger wants to be of service to the people of the state of Arizona and work as a hospitalist in Chandler if his application for licensure is granted.
That's perfect. Thank you very much, Ms. Lanigan. We certainly do need some hospitalists. Would you like to speak to this case, Mr. Dillinger, or we can move on to questions?
No, good morning. Thank you all for your time. I don't think I have anything specific to add to that summary, but of course, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
That's just fine. Thank you very much. To the board, we probably should move to executive session, but are there any questions initially before we consider that?
I just wanted to ask, how old were you when this event occurred?
It's 19, right?
So I think. Okay. That's all I did.
I wasn't an adult when I was 19 either. I'm not insulting you, Dr. Dillon.
No.
I'm insulting myself.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to move to executive session.
A second.
Second. Is that for confidential health information and or legal advice?
That's exactly yes. What I was going to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
Aye.
believe you have your quorum and you can resume.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attention and time. Is there further discussion or do I have a motion? Oh, you're still muted, huh? There you go. Try that again, Dr. Cunningham.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I make a motion for an unrestricted license for the doctor.
Thank you. Do we have a
second? I'll second.
Motion and a second. Thank you both. Is there any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
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 Good luck, doctor.
Thank you all so much.
Very much. Yes, welcome to Arizona, Dr. Dillinger. You take care. Log off. This is boring. Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
You'd like to move to 6E-DO-250149A and DO-250150A. Dr. Brittany Woodall, I believe Dr. Woodall and her attorney are signed in to speak.
Perfect.
Dr. Manning, would it be possible to just take a five-minute break before we start this case?
Yes, why don't we make it 10, though?
Okay, perfect.
Right. You got that, Mr. Bohol?
Perfect. 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
believe we have all five board members present.
Thank you. Feel free to move on. Mr. Bohol, I think we were at Ms. Castro.
That is correct.
Please go ahead, Ms. Castro.
All right. We are at 6E, Brittany Woodall. Dr. Woodall has applied for licensure. Below is a summary of Dr. Woodall's history with the board. Dr. Woodall previously applied for a PGT permit in 2020. On the application, Dr. Woodall disclosed receiving a DUI in 2017. The board reviewed the application and issued a permit August 15th of 2020. On or about January 2021, Dr. Woodall's program placed her on suspension between January of 21 and April of 21 for inappropriate behavior and comments made during patient care. The program provided a performance improvement plan for Dr. Woodall and listed the following concerns. A, Dr. Brittany Woodall was placed on an educational enhancement program on January 4th, 2021 to address her poor performance regarding clinical expression of knowledge on the hand of upper extremity orthopedic surgery rotation. This program was halted on January 14th, 2021 when Dr. Woodall was immediately suspended from patient care due to the incident described immediately below. Reported unethical conduct incident on January 8, 2021. It was reported that Dr. Brittany Woodall demonstrated inappropriate behavior and comments during patient care with several staff members present and directly in front of the patient in the operating room. The patient voiced concern and acknowledges the comments. This incident was verified by Dr. Brittany Woodall, in which she does not deny the incident but did apologize. The patient was brought into the OR by anesthesia and an RN. Dr. Woodall was speaking loudly and swearing. The RN asked her to stop because the patient was still awake. Dr. Woodall replied, "She has dementia. It's not like she's going to effing remember anyway." The nurse and anesthesia remained at the head of the bed and reassured the patient that she was going to be well cared for. The patient replied, "It doesn't sound like it." Dr. Woodall did not stop her loud and inappropriate conversation. I verified this with all of the staff in the room at the time. I also filled out the form and placed in her envelope. This was signed by a nurse manager. Dr. Brittany Woodall has received unsatisfactory evaluations regarding her interpersonal communication and professionalism. Dr. Woodall previously applied for a full license in Arizona. The board reviewed the application for licensure, the renewal of the PGT permit, and the conduct above at its meeting on March 26th of 2022. At that meeting, Dr. Woodall was present and the board issued an interim order for a comprehensive psychological evaluation with a fitness for duty component. Board staff received a substance abuse assessment completed by the New Mexico Physicians Health Program director in May of 22. The assessment did not appear to be completed by a pre-approved board evaluator. However, board staff brought it before the board for review at the June 11th, 2022 meeting. Dr. Woodall did not appear at that meeting and requested a continuance. In August of 22, Dr. Woodall requested to withdraw her application. During the processing of the current application for licensure, Dr. Woodall was informed that she would need to complete the evaluation as required by the interim order of the board issued in 2022. A full report was received September 16th and is included in the materials. Board staff also notes a history of unprofessional communication and outbursts, including swearing at staff in their interactions with the applicant. Additionally, staff notes that the program Mountain View Regional Medical Center, who placed Dr. Woodall on suspension in 2021, has refused to complete the conduct portion of the board's postgraduate training permit verification form. This portion includes questions regarding leave of absence, discipline, probation, investigations, and substance abuse monitoring, etc. They have stated that Mountain View has a neutral reference policy and will not answer the board's questions on the prescribed form. The board can determine if the verification received is acceptable. The board reviewed Dr. Woodall's conduct at the September 19, 2025 meeting and voted to grant licensure with acceptance of a consent agreement for a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Ultimately, Dr. Woodall, through her attorney, did not agree to the consent agreement offered. The application was placed on the November 15, 2025 agenda for the board to review. However, neither the applicant or her attorney were present. The board met in a special meeting on December 8th and voted to grant a temporary license to Dr. Woodall. The board may still consider the conduct that led to the suspension as well as the application for licensure.
Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. And where were we on the consent agenda?
In the board's materials, the attorney, Michael Rain, has provided an updated letter that is dated January 27th, in which he proposes a draft that the doctor will sign.
Thank you very much. Dr. Woodall, sorry, I assume you'd like Mr. Rain to speak first. Is that correct?
Yes.
No, that's just fine. No problem at all. Go ahead, Mr. Rain. Thank you very much. Make sure you check your mute. I think you have the option right now, Mr. Rain. No, no problem. It's
a great point I just made. I was going to conclude. But
I was moved. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know, the goal today is to work through an impasse in the language in the consent agreement that was offered by Director Bohol that we have just been unable to do in the 4 months that have passed with board staff or the board's legal counsel. So you heard there's actually multiple drafts of consent agreements that I can briefly describe for you to give you a couple options to consider. You know, the board already met and considered all of the underlying concerns and spoke with Dr. Woodall. We went to executive session where further concerns were addressed. To be absolutely clear, there's no dispute whatsoever that the board issued a letter of concern. We've never opposed that, nor have we ever opposed the specific language relating to those concerns, which was Dr. Woodall's conduct during residency that was described in Ms. Castro's summary again, as well as board staff's allegation that she had used profanity in interacting with them. That's not the issue, and that language has never been in dispute in the consent agreement. Instead, it's been two issues. One is the process of offering a consent agreement rather than just a unilateral letter of concern. We've been inquiring with board staff and the board's legal counsel ever since September why that was the process. You know, what was the legal basis for it? In the September meeting, the board did not actually vote to offer a consent agreement. I gather that's probably just shorthand, but all you said as a board, and the word consent agreement was never uttered whatsoever. You just said offer licensure with a letter of concern. And so we've been proposing, you know, if we're having difficulty having a meeting of the minds as to the exact wording of the consent agreement, we've proposed repeatedly, why don't you just issue a unilateral letter of concern with whatever language you choose? And we've noted there'd be no objection to that, and that we would presume it would closely mirror the offered consent agreement language, but it would be unilateral and not require Dr. Woodall to agree. It wasn't until this week that we finally had a citation as to why that process is the process at this board, because most other, virtually all other healthcare professional regulatory boards only issue unilateral letters of concern because it's a non-disciplinary action. There's case law that describes these issues and says you don't need to offer consent agreements for hearings for those letters because they don't impair your property right in your license. They're usually issued unilaterally and you don't get a chance, even if you wanted to negotiate that language. My understanding from the board's legal counsel is that the reason a consent agreement is used is because you don't have the power.
Mr. Rain, you're talking about process. We're here for adjudication. Are you saying that you're comfortable with your doctor signing the consent agreement item exhibit A? Is that where you're going with this?
I am. I have to double check which one's A. So I'll skip through it, and I'll just conclude that thought by saying I genuinely believe you do not have the power, and I think your legal counsel has indicated that. you do not have the power to issue letters of concern in licensing matters, and I'd be thrilled to have further opportunity to discuss that with you. But with regard to the consent agreements, there's really two offers, three in theory. Director Bohol issued a draft. Dr. Woodall proposed some modifications, and Director Bohol would not accept any of those. We went to AAG Galvin. She worked in good faith with us and offered a proposed version, which I believe is the Exhibit A. Dr. Woodall is prepared to accept that version that was negotiated with AG Galvin, which we think proposed some reasonable modifications. There was a second draft, which was another way to find a middle ground, which was, if we can't agree on the language of the consent agreement, why don't we just clear out everything and just have a consent agreement that says, we agree, you will issue a letter of concern with whatever language you choose. It still says that the concerns are the ones that we've described as to her conduct at residency and the issues with board staff, but then a separate letter of concern would issue with whatever language board staff wants. So ultimately, those are the two options that we thought were reasonable ways to get through this and conclude this matter. The version with AG Galvin's comments, which accepted virtually all of Dr. Woodall's proposed revisions, but not all. And AG Galvin provided her feedback as to, you know, why she wasn't supportive of a couple, and we were fine with that. If you're agreeable to that version, we're happy to work through it to discuss the differences between that and the originally issued one. But in briefest sense, there were two issues. One was the way the original offered consent agreement described the withdrawn application provided a pretty clear indication that it was withdrawn in lieu of, you know, to run from the result, essentially. That withdrawn at the last minute to hide from a bad outcome. And that, we thought, provided a very false impression. And so we provided some suggested revisions to provide the other side of that context. The other thing was the psychological evaluation, the way the original draft had characterized that. It almost read as though there were concerns about her fitness to practice. And so we offered a revision that just essentially said that the psychological evaluation did not find that she was currently unfit to practice or required monitoring. You know, essentially, if you're going to say, we asked you for a psychological evaluation to see if you're fit to practice without saying the second half of that, we thought it was fair to at least mention. And that ultimately came back without concerns for fitness to practice. So,
Mr. Rain, are you comfortable with the consent agenda that is provided in Exhibit A on the board documents you received, or do you need time to review it? I'm not trying to rush you if you need to review it.
No, we are comfortable with any of the versions we have offered.
Okay, that's fine with me. Mr. Bohol, what do we need here?
If you'd like to make a motion to accept the consent agreement that was offered as Exhibit A from Mr. Rain's January, 27th letter, staff will approve the license. Staff will process it, send it for Dr. Woodall's signature. Once signed, we will issue the letter of concern and the license.
And I'm not trying to cut off the board from further questions. Does the board have any other questions, or would they like to make a motion?
I'd just like to make a motion to accept the consent agreement and in A and grant a unrestricted license.
I'll second that.
On signature and acceptance of the consent agreement?
Yes, thank you.
And do I have that for the second as a friendly amendment?
Second, yes.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
I appreciate your deliberation, Mr. Rain, but obviously that's not the subject that we cover in this venue, but it is interesting, I'm sure. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Where would you like to move to next, Mr. Bohol?
I believe we're ready for 7A, which is DO-230147A. This is Joseph Thompson. I believe Dr. Thompson and his attorney are signed in to speak and they're present together.
Perfect. And I'm sorry, your attorney is Lauren
Weinzweig.
Weinzweig?
Weinzweig, yes.
Weinzweig, okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I just hate to mutilate names. I really appreciate your patience.
No, I fully understand. With my last name, it's expected.
I'm going to try to say it a few times today, so please correct me if I mutilate it. I'd like to learn.
And just also, we have Dr. Thompson's not with us, but he's also on virtually. His supervisor, Dr. Mark Kaplan, so he was available to make a short statement and answer questions, too, as we go through this.
Very good. Ms. Castro, are you providing a summary?
I can provide a brief summary for this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol.
The board had previously had Dr. Thompson on a monitoring agreement, and then in 2023, there was a positive PET test that resulted from alcohol. The board reviewed this, discussed it with Dr. Thompson, and through the process entered into an updated and modified consent agreement for monitoring for a 5-year period with the ability to request early termination after 2 years. 2 years has now come and lapsed. We have received a recommendation from the compliance monitor for termination of the agreement, and that he has been compliant with all the terms of the monitoring agreement so far. So the question before the board today is if you'd like to consider granting that early termination or providing more time. He does have a 5-year agreement. And then the board can also hear from Dr. Kaplan and ask questions of Dr. Kaplan and Dr. Thompson.
And Mr. Bohol, how much or is any of this under confidential and needs to be moved to executive session besides any new questions the board may have?
None of the consent agreement is under confidential, but any of the there may be confidential information that the doctor provides regarding his mental or physical health.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And Ms. Weinswig, did I get that close?
Close enough.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do you wish to speak first or who wishes to speak first?
Yes, I have a brief statement and also Dr. Thompson has a statement. I'll go first. I do want to just clarify a couple of things that Mr. Bohol mentioned. The positive PET test was in September 2022, not 2023. And I believe the consent agreement is a 4-year consent agreement, not a 5-year consent agreement. So he's a little bit more than halfway through at this point.
Thank you.
So, and if I misstated that, somebody please correct me. But
You're right on the 22. I think it was a 5-year consent agreement, but that's okay. The way that we were okay to come at 24 months before the board.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Okay. So thank you for the opportunity to be here. We have requested termination of the consent agreement that Dr. Thompson entered into in 2023. For 2 years, he's been compliant with the provisions, and it's quite a restrictive agreement. It has a lot of different monitoring requirements, supervision requirements, mm-hmm. participation in 12 steps, weekly meetings, multiple daily SoberLink, testing. So it's a lot that he's been complying with. And he's, since that time, he'll tell you too, but he's really thrived in the community that he's part of now. He's integrated into that community. It's very supportive of him. He's a very, respected and sought after physician in the community where he works, which is down in Sierra Vista. He, has an excellent relationship with his supervisor and the folks in the practice. And, we think he's proven his commitment to sobriety during that time period. Dr. Thompson does work in a medically underserved area with a shortage of family providers. And this probation does prevent him from credentialing with certain payers and limits his availability to patients who need his care. And especially since he can only work under Dr. Kaplan's supervision when Dr. Kaplan is literally physically present in the office. So that's a bit of a strain on that practice. I do want to emphasize that Dr. Thompson, in all the time that he has been monitored by this board, which is going on, I think, 6 years, maybe 7 years at this point, he has never had a complaint or investigation by this board or any employer regarding his competence and his clinical skill. He's as far as we know, from all accounts, he's an excellent clinician. Patients adore him. They seek him out. And, this is one of the reasons that we believe he's not a threat to the public safety and that we think he would do just fine if the agreement is terminated per ask. We have suggested some modifications to the consent agreement if you're not willing to consider a full termination. We have also requested that if you do choose to modify the consent agreement, that if there's some way to put it under a confidential program under ARS 32-1861, I think that would be helpful and perhaps facilitate some additional payer credentialing. Dr. Thompson is ready, he's able, he's willing to practice without further restriction. His board monitor agrees with that recommendation. Dr. Kaplan agrees with that recommendation. And we've submitted letters of support from other folks as well. So that's all in your packet. I'm happy to answer additional questions. And, you know, here's Dr. Thompson to give you a statement, too, on his own behalf.
Please, Dr. Thompson, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, no, thank you. I won't take up too much of your time here. First, esteemed members of the board, I want to thank you for your time and consideration today. I'd like to update you on what I've been doing personally and professionally since coming to your attention 3 years ago and later entering into the consent agreement offered. Since then, as you know, I took a strong effort to demonstrate my commitment to sobriety by having an inpatient rehabilitation evaluation followed by an IOP, during which I made sure to be present for random testing at least every 5 days without fail and submitting breath testing multiple times daily. I'm currently doing that still. Since entering into my consent agreement, which the board was gracious to offer me, I have strengthened coping mechanisms for relapse triggers and cemented my ongoing sobriety through all board-stipulated testing, addiction psychotherapy and counseling, and board monitoring. At this time, my goal is to seek a pathway in which to practice without restriction. This would best serve my community, as Lauren stated, as I am currently unable to treat those who require it in my critical need area due to my restricted status. With the support of my loving family, colleagues, coworkers, treatment team, and even verbalized and written support of Dr. Lott, my board-appointed monitor, I would like to formally ask for consideration for termination of my consent agreement. I do appreciate that this is an ambitious request, and it's not one that I take lightly, but I'm confident that I am able to serve my community. As I've discussed with my treatment team as well as my board monitor, my goals come not from a place of wanting to circumvent testing, but purely to be a service to my community. In the letter Lauren submitted on my behalf, I also included an alternative request to modify some of my consent agreement terms. This way, there would be a pathway for me to practice with fewer restrictions while continuing to perform random testing should the board feel that necessary, which I hope would strengthen the board's trust in me. I'm hoping even with this request, it can offer some relief that my commitment to sobriety stands firm and, as I would truly like, allow me to serve my community with few barriers to care. In closing, Dr. Lott believes I'm safe to practice independently at this time and supports my request for early termination. I'm humbled with this endorsement and I wouldn't be here without it. I feel the same, so I come to you with this request. I appreciate all of your time and thoughts, and I hope our shared goals of safe and sober practice will result in a favorable ruling today. I'm happy to answer any questions, of course, and I'm ready for it.
Dr. Thompson, this is the best I've seen you. I think myself and Dr. Cunningham have been with you before.
Yes.
So really appreciate the advances that you've made. Do you wish Dr. Kaplan to speak next before we ask questions? Or what?
Yes, please. That would be great.
Go ahead, Dr. Kaplan. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. I would like to just say that Dr. Thompson is an excellent physician and a fabulous teacher. We are the program director and associate program director for training program in family medicine. Without him, I wouldn't be able to do the program at this point. He's always on time. He's never smelled of alcohol. He doesn't have any characteristics that we've seen in the last 2 years that would suggest that he has an addictive problem. And he's a great role model for the residents. Unfortunately, the way that the board structures how it puts on its website that he's on this program allows the big insurance companies to deny him credentialing. And that has caused a lot of harm for our ability for him to develop an excellent practice. And if there's any way that that can be done away with so that he can be properly credentialed, we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So if I can summarize before the rest of the board, there have been some significant concerns, and it sounds like there have been some significant gains. And we just want to keep it that way to keep our public safe and you prospering. Any questions from the board? I think we need to move to executive session, but there are probably some questions before that if anybody would like to ask now. In that case, I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice.
A second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor? Indicate with an aye.
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 Okay, I believe the doctor is present. All five board members are present. You can resume.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody for their patience. We definitely take this job very seriously. I would like to make a motion to deny the request to lift their probation, but to offer a modified consent agreement. Mr. Bohol, could you summarize that for me before we look for a second?
Absolutely. The modification was to increase the number of hours per week to 45, remove the requirement that Dr. Kaplan provide direct supervision and be present when Dr. Thompson is present at his work location, remove the daily sober length testing, and decrease the PETH testing from weekly to every 2 weeks, and continuing with all the other terms of the agreement.
Thank you. Good summary. I appreciate that. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? If not, are there any opposed to this motion? I believe we need a roll call. I'm sorry, Mr. Bohol. I'm speaking out of turn.
No problem. Okay. Dr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. Pichelle? Okay. Mr. Goodman?
Yes.
Dr. Chabon?
Yes.
Dr. Matem?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Dr. Thompson, we're very proud of how well you're doing here. I really hope that this will work for you, and I look forward to you continuing care for patients in such a fantastic fashion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, of course. And thank you for being here, Dr. Kaplan. We really appreciate you and what you've done for the last couple of years. Thank you for what you do. Mr. Bohol, where would you like to move to next?
If we'd like to take a 5-minute break, and then we can meet with the students, and then we can do your board business with the election of officers and updates.
Oh, very good. Okay, sounds fantastic. Thank you.
I believe we're just waiting for Dr. Cunningham and then we can resume.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol.
Thank you, Dr. Penning. And if we'd like to go to the section with the medical students, we do have a small contingent of students present today. So students, if you'd like to turn on your cameras and discuss with the board.
We have a small contingent, which means we can ask each one of them multiple questions?
That's correct.
That's awesome. Well, welcome everybody here. I hope you've been able to get a few takeaways from the board as far as what we do and how we deal with cases. I know there's a lot going on, and we can't answer any specific questions as to any given case, but we'd love it if you have any questions about how the board works and what the board does for general questions. Do you have any questions for us? Oh, that's right. They have to be unmuted, Mr. Bohol. I forgot.
We'll start with Dr. Cruz.
Student Dr. Cruz. He's almost there. Dr. Cruz.
Hi. Good morning. I had a question. Can you define what a consent agreement is? I was kind of confused about that part.
Of course, I am still. Mr. Bohol, would you like to go ahead and
a consent agreement is one of the tools that the board can use to require or issue an order. Because it is a consent agreement, the physician that is involved has to agree to it and sign it. So there's some terms and conditions that they agree to regarding their rights, and then the board can specify how they want to either conclude a case, manage it, put the physician on probation, and do monitoring that way.
That's a good question, and one of many things we face there. You're correct, student Dr. Cruz.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, of course. Any other questions? Please feel free to ask. It's you don't get the opportunity to talk to the board very often, hopefully just once.
Yeah, I had a question, if I may.
Please.
Yeah, in regards to Dr. Kaplan supervising Dr. Thompson, I was just wondering, is there a way that you select the chaperone? Is it just an associate of the doctor, or are they selected randomly or at your convenience?
Well, we can't answer specifically as to a case, but Mr. Bohol, I'm sure you can talk a little bit about chaperoning or supervision, maybe is a better way of saying it.
Yes, and the board has multiple options when it comes to it. Sometimes the board selects the monitor for the agreement. We also have a company that we engage with to do contractual agreements for monitoring. And so it depends on the situation of the case. The standard terms is we don't allow like a parent, a brother, sisters, anyone of your family relation or close ties to supervise because they can't be objective. They can't ask the questions that need to be asked or different things of that nature. So we avoid that. We typically look for a certain level of training depending on what the requirement for monitoring is. If it's to the severe level, we always try to make sure that the supervisor is the same professional level. You shouldn't be supervised by like a medical assistant or, maybe a nurse is not acceptable as a supervisor, but maybe a nurse practitioner is, that type of question.
And it depends on what the supervision is. Sometimes it's just having a chaperone, in which case a nurse or a medical assistant might be appropriate. But as Mr. Bohol was alluding to, sometimes we have to use somebody from outside of their office, so it's not somebody they're paying to supervise, and which can create a friction with the individual and their paycheck. So the board has to work around a lot of things depending on what the case is about and what the supervision need is. That's a good question.
Yeah, thank you. That's a lot of good points.
Yeah, of course. Well, before we go any further with questions, it's remiss of me not to at least let you know a little bit about what the heck this whole thing is besides a meeting here. The board itself is a group of individuals, doctors and non-doctors, selected by the governor, and it's also comprised of our board staff. You heard a lot from Mr. Bohol and Ms. Castro, but there are multiple other members of the board staff that review all of these cases, bring this information in front of us, and help us with adjudicating cases and follow-up. So it's a huge process. Arizona is not a small state, so there's a lot of work to do. Most of the work that happens does not happen here at this meeting. It's done before, so you might hear a little bit of familiarity with cases and not a lot of details because we have the information that's been given to us, and obviously we just need to talk to the doctor themselves about getting details to put a little color to the context that we're getting here. So some of these cases may seem super short, but that's because information is before us and maybe there aren't a lot of questions. And sometimes there are a lot of questions, and some cases go on for several meetings, it seems, to my knowledge here. But as we mentioned, we take this job very, very seriously. Any other questions from the students? Otherwise, would anybody like to educate and enlighten these students from the board? I know Dr. Chapin wants to. Oh, Dr. Cunningham went off mute first.
Oh, Dr. Chapin, I always defer to you first. Please go first. I jump in the way. First, ladies first.
Oh, you are more than welcome to. No, I mean, you did see a small selection of certain cases today, and in general, like you said, as Dr. Maidham said, we're here to help protect the public. But the other issue is we're also here to help the physician succeed and at the practice, and that's why we have you guys come here today. So hopefully you've seen some things that maybe enlighten you as to some things to be more cognizant of in your own careers, and but also you know, not to put fear into it, but also just to make you recognize in your own self, you know, how to keep yourself properly trained, but also emotionally and physically and everything else. You know, and so that way that you can have a nice, long, prosperous career and help your patients, and by doing that, first helping yourself.
Well said, Dr. Chapin. Thanks. Go ahead, Dr. Cunningham.
She's always better to talk before me, that's for sure. But just to add a little bit more is that you saw, and we can't like Dr. Bain said, we can't talk about certain cases, but I think you saw some examples today that with substance issues, and Mr. Goodman can talk more about that too. But if you do have a problem with any substances, if it'll be alcohol or other things, while you're in school now, or this is the time to take care of it, I'm going to tell you. And then if you have a friend that you're in school with too, and it may cost a friendship, please also help them too. And because you can see, if it comes before the board, this will be something that will follow you for the rest of your life. And it can affect you and your career as well too. So again, my advice to you is, if you have one drink, what do we say? We call Uber or Lyft, all right? And, you know, a lot of times, I know that a lot of times when you're in school, you like to celebrate after certain exams. You passed your boards, those things. Please be safe and careful, okay? Because the last thing you want to do, if you do get a DUI, it will follow you for the rest of your life. You're going to have to report that, not only to applications, but also for licensure in other states, staffs, if you're going to get on at hospitals, those things. So, again, take care of yourself and make sure that you're in a good, healthy place. There's a lot. You think you're stressed now? Wait till you get out and practice. And so it doesn't get better, but it is a rewarding life. So I'm going to tell you, always take care of yourself. Make sure that you have time to yourself. Enjoy your family. And also then your career will also prosper as well, too.
Wise words. Thank you very much, Dr. Cunningham. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll just reiterate, you know, what Dr. Cunningham and others have said regarding substance abuse. I mentioned during the meeting, I mentioned it frequently, I am in recovery. I was a drug addict and struggled with that for a long time. And I'm an attorney, and so I similarly had to disclose a lot of these things in all of my education and licensing process. And for me, it was always a point of pride because I've worked really hard to not do drugs. And if you know anybody or if you experience it yourself, do seek help. We have programs to help you. Be open with your peers, with whoever you find counsel with. I like to preach that it's good that we discuss these things out in the open. We all know somebody who's struggled with drugs and alcohol, if we have not ourselves. Too many people are silent about it, in my personal opinion. And so speak up about it, whether it's to help yourself or to help somebody that you work with or that you're friends with. Becoming a safe place for others is also something you can do to help, but always seek help if you need it. Don't get yourself in trouble, and always disclose first if there's any question. It's much easier to happily discuss how much you've overcome when you're before us to explain that than it is to ask for forgiveness because you said that, this never happened. Just go out there, do good work, take care of yourselves, and disclose everything.
I really appreciate you talking about that, Mr. Goodman. I know that takes a lot to do, so thank you very much. Anybody else from the board like to talk to these good young student doctors? If I can emphasize a little bit about what Dr. Cunningham and Mr. Goodman said, in medicine, medical school might be stressful, but residency will be more stressful and working will be more stressful. Everything changes, but things get better and in some ways worse. At some point, you're going to be at a breaking point, or maybe you'll be at a breaking point every day. And it's how you handle that makes the difference. It's okay to be human. Just remember you are human. And at some point, you're going to be at that wall. So just be mindful of it. Take a step back, and that'll give you a chance to deal with it appropriately. And I really appreciate you guys spending the morning with us. I'm glad we didn't draw out this meeting too long for you, but it looks like it's a beautiful day out now. Enjoy the day. Read a book, not a textbook. Take care. Thank you, everybody. If nothing else from the students, I think we can move on, Mr. Bohol. I recommend you log off now. The rest of this is boring.
That's correct.
It is boring.
To move to election of officers, this would be 9A.
Ah, perfect. Feel free to proceed.
So the election of officers, so this would be for calendar year 2026. I did want to report that Dr. Shippon and Dr. Madam have both been reappointed for a five-year term, so they can continue to serve.
Congratulations.
I'm super.
Or condolences, happy. One of the two, I'm not sure.
I'm just really proud to be here and really appreciate the chance to do that for five more years. I don't know why I was thinking it was four.
Nice try.
I seem to have issues with fives and fours. No. In Chinese, four is not a lucky number, so maybe we should just go with fives. But can I nominate Dr. Madam to continue to serve as president? I think he's doing an amazing job, always does, and I would very much love to have him continue as our leader, as president of the board.
Can I second that? Yeah, I'd like to second that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That being said, I think all of you guys are fantastic members, and I think anybody can serve this job. I know Dr. Cunningham did for years, and I'm really super
proud. Look what it did to me.
Oh, shoot. No, I really appreciate that. I happily accept the offer. I just want to make sure I say that I think every one of you would be a good member. I don't want to stop anybody else from doing it, but I would proudly and happily serve another term. You have to put that to a vote. Do you have to put that to a vote for me, Mr. Bohol? I don't think I can.
Yes, I'll call for all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, you have elected Dr. Meenum as your president for the meeting.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to, if she agrees, Dr. Chapin to be continued as vice president. She's an outstanding leader I've seen in the year that I've been here. And I enjoy working with her. And I think she's a great director for this board. So I would make that a motion.
I would like to second
that.
Mr. Goodman, you got it. Thank you.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Yeah. Hearing none, Dr. Chapin, you have been elected vice president.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone, and thanks for all your help with, especially with the word finding sometimes. Oh, I appreciate it.
I got an outstanding team. I'm going to tell you that, an outstanding team.
I just have to say that about the whole board. Honestly, this board has come a long way, and I really appreciate the that's absolutely perfect. Mr. Bohol, what would you like to do next?
If we can move on to 9B, which is the legislative update. I only have one bill to specifically share with you. So that's HB 2687. It is a – let me pull up my summary real quick. HB 2687 authorizes the Arizona Medical Board to conduct independent reviews of any medical care case involving patient death or life-threatening complications, even if the treating professional is licensed by a different regulatory body. The legislation requires the Board of Osteopathic Examiners, as well as other healthcare boards, to transmit all investigative materials and findings upon request by the Arizona Medical Board. If the medical board determines that any of the health boards erred in its investigation or failed to properly regulate the professional, it must report these conclusions directly to the governor and the legislature. I believe the medical board is meeting this week to provide an opinion on it. At this time, I don't believe that the board should take a position, a formal position on it, and get information from the medical board on how it would like to proceed.
And they're meeting on this next week?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. All right. That's perfect.
So I just wanted to make sure that I was keeping you aware, and if there's any immediate and strong reactions, you're more than welcome to reach out to me, and I'm happy to kind of formalize those and put those either through testimony or a statement to the sponsor.
I will take a look at that further. I think that has some positive and potentially negative points to it. I think it's interesting, but I'll happily look through it in more detail, and I love any other opinions from other board members. Carry on, Mr. Bohol.
Okay. Moving on to the executive director report section. The financial statement, we are halfway through the fiscal year. We are doing very well in renewals. We are probably close to 90%, which is a big deal when it comes to late renewals. So we're not, I believe tomorrow, after tomorrow, the late fee is imposed. So we have had a 30 or 1 month grace period so far where we don't charge the late fee. So the remaining people will pay the late fee and then as of May 1st, if they haven't renewed or submitted all the required documentations, their license will expire and they'll have to apply for a new license. When the license expires and the individual comes back and wants to re-license with us, that process can be long and difficult. So we really try to strongly encourage everyone to complete the renewal timely. And we are seeing good results from that. We increased the number of communications regarding outstanding renewals, and we've seen a drastic increase in that. But because of that, we're seeing our revenue come in. That's on track for the year. We're on track for our spending, and that's kind of the financial report. Licensing and investigations, we have reduced the average time on applications down to 81 days. My first quarter goal was to have that down by 5%. So we're right at 3%. So I'm hoping before the end of this quarter, we'll have reached that 5% decrease. We are continuing to decrease the number of days that our investigation takes. We have hired two contract staff members to assist with the investigative process and trying to make sure that we're bringing those cases to you timely. So you should be seeing those case numbers and those average days drop. I have not dismissed any cases since the November report, but we'll have a larger report for you at the next meeting. And I'm available for any questions, and that concludes my report.
Perfect. That was my next question for you. You answered that with the two contract staff members. Do you think that's adequately going to fill the staff and well within budget?
It is within budget. I would like to hire a third investigative staff, as well as an additional licensing staff to help address any of these gaps and really kind of get that time frame much shorter. I did submit a request in the budget request for five additional staff that did not make it into the executive budget, but I am working with the representative of the Office of Strategic and Budget Planning with the governor's office, as well as the legislature, to see if there's some way that we could still get that into our budget beginning July 1st.
I definitely appreciate it, and I really appreciate how far you've moved with our timeliness. Thank you very much for keeping us working efficiently.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Dr. Chabon.
Can you speak to us where we are on a medical director, I believe it's called?
Our current medical consultant, she retired effective January 1st of this year. So she is fully retired from the state, and we wish her well. We are figuring out how best to fill that contract or the medical consultant position. And the discussion was that maybe a single person is not the best route to go. We should be looking at multiple consultants, but paring down the number of hours that way that we could get a high quality candidate that doesn't have to devote 30 hours a week to the board. They could do smaller increments. And because of that, we would be able to pay more hourly but still receive the same amount, if not more work. We can also look at increasing the number of cases that go to outside medical consultants, and we could also pay those more and get a more detailed and more in-depth analysis than just that cursory immediate review.
And I agree with Dr. Chabon. I think part of your concern, it is extremely useful to have somebody from inside for medical consultant and from outside to have an understanding of the board's history and position, but keeping an outside medical consultant who is not in that role to help us adjudicate these cases.
I would like to say, I just really think that it's important, again, that we have a medical consultant, like Dr. Chabon said. I think the reason I think it's important, just from my history with the board, is especially from our osteopathic training, many times we have to use MD consultants. And so I think that having that extra layer there helps us as a board itself to adjudicate a lot of these cases doing that. So I would strongly consider still urge to have a medical consultant on board. I'm not volunteering, okay, but I'm just saying.
I second your motion, Dr. Cunningham. Yeah, having somebody with a historical perspective is helpful. Obviously, that would be difficult or impossible at this point, but obviously trying to retain a person or persons with longevity would help rebuild that.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Bohol? Otherwise, I'd like to thank you very much. You did a great job with that short-term trying to refigure out keeping us from getting hacked in our meeting. I know that was a lot for you to do on the fly, so thank you.
My pleasure.
I think we're at item 11 now, adjournment.
That's great.
To adjourn.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
Seeing none opposed, I wish everybody a good day. Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you.